Well, it is so wonderful to have you tonight as we set aside this time to humble ourselves before the Lord and continue to hear his word. And as we have shared this morning, as we humbly do not put out the Spirit's fire, do not treat prophecy with contempt, but test all things and hold on to what is good. So tonight, the Lord, by his Spirit, wants to speak to us and through his word. Would you welcome Jay as he comes and shares again this night?
Man, how about for our worship team again? Appreciate them, right? Beautiful. Yeah, just great songs. And I'm so thankful and honored that you took time out of your busy schedules. A Sunday evening, the PGA Championship's on, so all the golf lovers have a T-boat. T-boat was definitely the Lord's idea, I'm sure. So we could do what we need to do and enjoy ourselves. But especially with this weather, and I never take it lightly or think I'm deserving of anyone's attendance, especially special services. So please understand that. Obviously, Pastor Sean, Sarah, this pastoral team, this eldership, always allowing us to have these multiple meetings with the church and really being able to touch her in all of her areas from the leaders to the Sunday morning to the youth folks Sunday evening, the teenagers. All of it is just absolutely wonderful. So I really appreciate that. Joel chapter 2. I'm going to mix them up a little bit, guys. I gave those guys a few scriptures. Some of them I'm not going to use. And how about for, don't you love when I come to the door, the greeters are fantastic always, as I was encouraging our viewers and our watchers today, and our guys serving up here, my man Steve and his crew, it's all good. Really appreciate all that. Joel chapter 2. Incredible to come back here in a historical moment. Verses 20, 28, 29, we're going to go over to Peter in just a few moments. He'll quote out of this particular prophetic book, and it shall come to pass, it'll show us afterward, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams. Remember, I'm not quite there yet. At least in my puny mind, probably, huh? Yeah, there's a lot of room up here. Your young men shall see visions, and also upon your servants and upon your handmaidens. And in these days, I'll pour out my spirit. I'll show wonders, he goes on. Earlier in this chapter, let's verse 15. Chapter 2, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders, gather the children and those that are feeding. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O God. Give not thine inheritance to reproach, and let not the heathen rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? First word in verse 18, then we'll come back here. John chapter 2 on the way over. We were here this morning. It's a great story, wasn't it? Yeah, I love it. Beautiful. Just connecting it. John chapter 2, verse 10. That incredible word by really, possibly even a non-Jew, the governor of the feast. Verse 10. And he saith unto him, to the bridegroom, every man, this is what men do, this is humanity, at the beginning sets forth the excellent wine, the premier wine, the good wine. And when men have well drunk and hours have passed by and it's grown, and the day grows later, then that which is the least, the worst, the canned stuff from Kroger, even by the pumps. Sorry. But thou hast kept the best wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and the disciples believed upon him. Acts chapter 2. Just a few pages over. Incredible moment. 50 days after his death, 20 days after he ascended. Verse 13, I love. Others mocking, saying, "You're drunk, dude." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, "You men of Judea and all you dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunk with wine. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and my handmaids I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Just some introductory thought. We won't spend a lot of time here. It amazes me, always has. And I love the Bible this way. I couldn't help when I first read this to go back and wonder why Jesus didn't tell Peter this. For a year and a half, he's talking to them, especially the last week, about the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, who will come. He has to go in order for him to come in a dimension they had no idea. They had already been performing miracles. They had cast out devils, but they had not been like him. Even with 3.5 years of knowing him, watching him, seeing him, hearing him, apostles, at the end of his life, they will still not understand what he's intending to do. But here we are with this outpouring of the Spirit of this prophet Joel. Again, amazing that he even goes to him. This man who is ignorant and unlearned, he is not a Bible scholar. Paul's completely on the other side, raised in a rabbinical law, understands the law. This man has no education at all, not in the scriptures, not in that day. And he stands in a moment of time with a revelation of the moment out of a prophetic book that most people would be afraid of to even begin quoting it because of its content. Yet he stands up by this inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this man who doesn't know anything, and already with this measure of the Spirit of God that we have not seen before, already there is an understanding and an illumination of the prophetic books of history speaking in a present moment. That always. That immediately, I was amazed at that. Especially the book. So tonight, I want to take us back there for a moment. I want to, with the understanding this morning, without it stressing it, that what the Lord did in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, the 25 years of the book of Acts, especially up to the 11th chapter when they were first called Christians in Antioch, all this beautiful history that we so love and we so look at, that it happened in 1 week, 2 weeks. I don't know, this is a period of time of almost 25 years to the end of it. It is just incredible what takes place. Again, 3,000 born again in one day. 2 years later, 5,000 in one day, because someone, there was a miracle, a blind man who stood up, a lame man, and because of this kind of stuff, 5,000. In 6 years, probably they estimate, I give different numbers, I'll give low numbers, 12,000 to 15,000 in Jerusalem, a city that could never hold that many, and to the outskirts, and not just kind of hanging around people. No, these are revolutionaries. Please don't get that wrong. That's not rebellions or insurrection. A revolution is simply going back to his ultimate intention from the beginning. That's all that is. We're turning back to what he had in his heart from the beginning. Not the garden, the beginning. And this was always in his heart, that there would be these measures of him. How about this? Measures that could not be measured. When that Spirit was poured out that day, he said it himself. He says, "I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to send somebody. He's going to comfort you. He's going to teach you everything I've ever said. You'll do more than I did." And he had the Spirit without limitation on him. We are not going to live with any limitations to what our God intends in our generation. The limitations are off. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this moment. And Lord, I just want to just say, just acknowledge, as I have before in private, really, mostly, thank you for this word. It's living. For many people, it's just a book with covers and some red letters, and it's a history lesson, and really invaluable and of no real value to today. But that is not true. It is alive. It is separating, dividing my soul and my spirit. It begins to unveil your ways, unveil who you are. It leads me to you that I might have something no religion has, and that is an experience with a living word, a living God, and a written word and a written God. So, Father, I'm asking tonight that the revelation of Jesus Christ would be ours, that there would be a new cry in the hearts of the priesthood, not after Aaron's order or Levi's order, but after the order of Melchizedek, the forerunner, the high priest, the first one of our kind, the first one of us, a priesthood of a different order, a life, an order that has an everlasting life. This Melchizedek priesthood, which we're born into, born from. Father, I pray that it be the beginning in our generation of an understanding of who we are, not in an arrogance, not in a cockiness at all, but in a reality of the importance of the priesthood, the importance of the people of the living God in every nation of the world. Your body in the earth, that we might grow up into you, and that one that there will be a time in history where the head and the body become one. That's the dream. That you would have the preeminence and you would be central, the central passion of your people. Father, thank you for even listening to my cry. In Jesus' name, amen. Joel's a 9th century prophet without getting too deep. Probably from 834 BC, 837 BC, possibly into the 7s. They're not really sure that part of the 800s. And you know, it goes backwards. It goes down. Historically, there was a locust plague that hit Judah, the southern tribe, during the kingship of the young king, Joash. He was the first of two young kings that we'll see later. As young as 7 years old, he will be, and he will reign 40 years. During his reign, there was a locust plague. It's been proven that has had it. Egypt had one tremendously that we know about. I want to just talk about it for a moment because I wanted us to have the setting. For me, the historical moment and the setting that this man stands in and what he declares in this moment is phenomenal to me. And the proper hermeneutic, anytime you have something in the New Testament, you've got to go back and look at its beginning, its origin. That's how you properly interpret things. You didn't really need that word, but it's a big one. When the locusts come, they are really driven by the wind. They have no direction. They don't fly in any kind of purposeful way. They fly very close together like this. They are almost one as they fly. And generally, as it came in the east wind in the Exodus and went out in the west wind, that's how it comes. They just ride the winds, and they really don't know where they're going. They fly in such masses that they literally have been called those who shut the sun out. They literally come in such depth, such numbers, they're not numbered, they're innumerable, is what they will say. The sun will be literally blocked out. In this plague, and when they come in this largeness, they come as high as 3 feet deep all through a city. They don't eat just the leaves. They eat of the trees, the leaves, the bark, the wood, all the way down to the root. They have four stages in them, and usually they don't stay around with the four stages. This particular prophecy, they were all four stages. So they came, they laid eggs, the eggs grew, became caterpillars, the caterpillars ate, and then they became locusts again. That's how deep this particular one was. It wasn't just locusts coming, locusts leaving. There are three things basically the children of Israel depend upon. The first is their wheat. It comes barley and wheat. The first harvest is barley. The second one is wheat. Sometimes they mix them back and forth depending on the temperature. They relied on the barley and the wheat for their own sustaining, for seeds for the following year, and it was their economics. It was what they traded. It was how they lived. The second was wine. Their wine was something that they not so much proud of, but they could market the wine. I said in King David and Solomon's, and even before that, this wine was so valuable that the nations of the world around them would trade timber and precious metals for their wine. Their wine was precious for their kind. Plus, they needed the wine to continue their feast 7 a year to sacrifice for them. The feasts and sacrifices were their God thing. It would be like for you and I taking church out of the equation. We can never meet again. We can never sacrifice again. We can never praise again. We can never raise our hands again. Can you imagine how that would be? That's what it was for them. And of course, the final one is the oil. The olive trees were hundreds of years old. I saw the ones that are in Gethsemane, where Jesus was. They think they were back even to his time. It's 2,000 years ago. They think that they're that old. And it takes years to produce an olive tree. And that's basically the olive oil. It's also the oil that would go into the candlestick. Without that oil, it couldn't happen. It wasn't the anointing oil. That was made of something else. But all these things were for them necessary for life sustenance, and to maintain who they were as a people. Without it, their city would be disastrous. Without it, they'd be open to their enemy. There would be no protection at all. And here they stand at this moment. The locusts have come in such masses that if you stood in the city, we don't know how far outside. It was all of Judah, the lower half of this area is what it had to be, which would include Bethlehem, possibly even farther out as far as Hebron. They're not sure how much of Judah they were there. But this is a problem to the southern country. You okay with me? The southern half. They're looking. And if you look this way, where there once was vineyards, they were gone. There was nothing there but locusts. If you look up here toward the lower mountain areas where all the olive trees were and all the olives, everything that they sustained them, they were gone. There was just locusts there. If you looked out here where all the barley fields were and the hope for seeds for the silo, there was nothing. There was not only was there not wheat, not barley, there wasn't even seeds. There was nothing. They were standing in a moment of total devastation. You get the picture? That's why I love these prophets. This man stands up and he says, this is what will happen if the priest will cry out to him. He says he will respond, and he begins to speak in a prophetic word. He says then, it's a response from a priesthood. Can you imagine these priests? They have to look like, how are we going to find? It's going to take decades to grow an olive tree. We don't have seeds for the wheat or the barley. Our silos, our floors are empty. Our vats, there's nothing in them. And he stands up and he says, if you'll do this, he will do this. Watch what he says. I love it. He says, then I will pity my people and I'll be jealous for my land. Let me just pull some spiritual things in this. The land for them, they wanted the natural land. But for you and I, the land always is typified of the promise of God. There is so much of the new covenant. I don't have time to go through it. I took out the Hebrew words the Hebrew scriptures I was going to use. There's so much about the new covenant, especially living on that side of the veil, living on that side of the door, beholding him who sits upon the throne and seeing him, this lamb who was slain with 7 perfect eyes for perfect vision. There's so much of the promise of God that you and I have never lived with. You know that there was a day, a generation that did not like him. The news has to say they were hard-hearted and he resisted me, the Holy Spirit. He fed them six out of 7 days. Their clothes didn't wear out. Cloud by day, fire by night. The enemy couldn't touch them. Even when they moaned and complained, he brought other food for them. In the Sinai place where there's no water, out of a rock he brought water to quench the thirst of 1.3 to 3 million plus their animals for 40 years. And they didn't like it. Who is this God? See, I thought if he took care of us, we were in the promise. They never saw the promise. That's just him being a good God. And so when this cry comes out, can you imagine this prophet? What courage to begin declaring this at all this is in front of him. That's why I'm saying to you, we're not going to judge our God by what we see out here, what's taking place in our world. We're going to judge him by what he declares. We're going to believe him by what he says. He says, I'll be jealous for the land. I will send, call for is the idea. I will send the wheat, the wine, and the oil. Let me just touch on them for a moment. It says corn in the King James, but it's literally wheat or barley. in their life, of course, I just touched on it. It's a real thing. But let me just say to us in a spiritual way, we always is typified of the revelation of the Word of God. Everything to do with bread, the one that came down from heaven, is always this unfolding and illuminating of the Scripture, this opening up of it. It's what satisfies us. It was the bread, the pierced bread on that table of showbread. It always is typified of not only the Word of God, the revelation of the Word of God, but seeds that you and I plant, our own seed, our own kids, the future of the people of God, all is inclusive in that. He said, in a moment when they see nothing, I'm sending it. I'll send the wheat, the wine. I touched on wine this morning. You know, that's, you know, I apologize for me, but I'm intoxicated. When we go to our weddings, man, you want something to drink, Jay? I'm drunk. Are you kidding me? I've been drinking all day. I don't smell anything on you. Yeah, get closer. You'll smell something. I don't know if he has a fragrance, and that's not an issue to me. I always tease him a little bit. I said, no, I'm drinking something you don't know anything of at this point, but you will. What it is, just influence. It's not the perfect, it's just our lives. He's influenced us. You don't know me 44 years ago, but you wouldn't have liked that Jay. I don't like that Jay. I don't like the Jay 20 years ago. Actually, Jay last week, I didn't care for much either. Oh, yeah, if I'm not drinking, I'm stupid. You know, before I'd be drunk and stupid. Now, if I don't drink, I'm stupid. It's kind of a little bit of a change paradox there, right? But so this intoxication, this wine, it was for them economic. For you and I, it's spirit. Oh, once you start tasting of him and you see, you've got to taste again. And when you taste again, you've got to see. Again, I fell in love with this. I fell in love with this Bible, with this man. I fell in love with this before I got to Bible college. I've come to know it better, but I didn't know I would do anything. I didn't know anything about college. I didn't care. When I went to Bible college, what are you going to do? I don't know. I'm just going because they suggest I go. I'm just looking for him. He's in the cover of the book. I just want him. It's wine. Once I tasted that, all the drugs I ever did, all the alcohol I ever did, everything I ever did in my life, though, never satisfied, never quenched my thirst. This one, as he said to the woman at the well, you drink this, you'll never thirst again. Can you imagine? Oh, he's declaring, I'm going to send it. And they had to be thinking, some of the people on the side going, you're crazy. You know how long it took us it takes 3 years just to start a grapevine. It's going to take another 3 years just to even get it to go broad. It's going to take another 3 years at least to produce anything. That's if we have decent rain. If we don't have rain, we're not going to have anything. And he's declaring it, which I love about our God. He's saying those things that be not as though they were. They needed it naturally. We need it spiritually. I'll send the wheat, the wine, and the oil. I don't want to spend too much time here. I love the oil, of course. It's that fire. It's that passion. It's that illumination. It's that oil that they poured into the candlestick. It was the light for the holy place. It's all those things. It wasn't the anointing oil. That's mixed with several things. But it was that. It was the sustaining thing. It was that light in your house. It was that city set upon a hill. It's the thing that it's his burning ones. He's a consuming fire. Not wild. Consuming, though. Don't you love being consumed by him? I want to be consumed by him. And that's what he is. It's this fire that burns. It is that burning bush. We're on fire, but we're not burning up. Beautiful. This isn't a wick, but this has to have the flame. He goes, I'll send that. And then he goes on to say, I love this part. He says, I'll send the rain, the early rain and the latter rain in the first month. I will begin a rain that you've never known. What it is a double. It's a double sickling, as we heard this morning. It is two harvests in one. What a moment. I don't even want to deal with harvesting, but that's what we're looking for. Our prayer that Jesus said, listen, raise your eyes. The harvest is white. They looked up. This wasn't harvest time. They didn't understand him. It's now. That's what he was saying to them. Get ready. Live now. It's now. Believe it now. It was. It would only be less than a year before they had something they never believed before. Then I love, he goes on to say this. He goes, your floors would be full. Again, amazing. You know what the floor is? They would bring the wheat to the floor, and they would lay the wheat there, and they'd have a sickling iron. Well, it was a really kind of a winnowing fork, and they would push it up, and it would separate the seed from the chaff, and the chaff would blow away, and the seed would fall. He says, your floor is going to be overflowing with seeds. Again, they're looking around going, there's not even, we don't have seed. How is this possible? We're talking about our God, yo. He said, the floors would be full. You'll have to, they'll be all on the sides. You'd have to start, keep pushing it in. I'm just going to cause you, your vats will be overflowing. Oh, I wish I could talk about how they produce wine and what it takes to produce wine and how it just moves. And he says, your vats will be over, it'll be so much wine, you won't have enough things, containers to put them in. And your oil will be the same way. And then I'll restore the years. But if there's anything that I love in a prophetic way, is when I come out of this book at this moment in people's lives. We have so many of us that have, that the years have cost us dearly, that the years have taken things. When I got born again at 22, I'm so thankful, but I have friends that aren't 22. They're 50 when they're getting born again. And those years, even when I was 22, I thought, well, I'm glad I realized that he's going to start doing something now. I had no idea that he was going to go back to my earliest days, issues with my father, issues with my brother, issues with my neighbors, things that happened to Jay LaRue, people I hurt then. He was going to go back there and purchase it all? Who is this God? I'm going to restore the years, the locust, the caterpillar, the caterworm, and the caterpillar have all those stages, those early stages, how they eat. I'm going back into your earliest days, and I'm going to restore all the years. The Lord, he goes on to say, the Lord will do great things among you. I mean, I get to this point in Joel's prophecy, and I'm going, wow, man, whoo, that's unbelievable. I mean, I have to meditate. I know I'm saying to us now, but I'm just thinking about, what a prophetic word. It's like, what hope? And then he says, after that, what, there's more? You're going to do something. Wait, whoa. That's already incredible. Oh, no. That's nothing. After that, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters. When Peter was standing up, it wasn't all Jews. There was a lot of people there. And there are people that were mocking them, laughing at them. You're fools. This is untrue. Oh, no. He's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters. Peter probably would have liked to say, my sons, my daughters. But no, it's not for Jay's sons and Jay's daughters. It's for ours, our sons and our daughters. Your old men, you know. Well, I don't know. Maybe some of you know. Do you know, John? Dream dreams. The aimless of visions. What's the cry? I'm going to end with this. Just brought us back. I couldn't touch the priesthood. Maybe ask him to read a little bit, but he is described as this new priest order. The prophet Isaiah will say, listen, when he comes, he's going to bring a people, and those people are going to be the restorers of generations, the restorers of broken down cities, the rebuilders of all things. And they will be called the priests of the Lord, the ministers of our God. Then, of course, Peter will stand up and say, listen, I want you to know that you're a royal priesthood after that order. A peculiar people, he uses, bad translation, a purchased people to show forth his virtues. Peter uses praise. They translate praise, it's not those things. So I couldn't believe that he called us from the beginning. I was born again a priest after his order. When Joel says to a lesser order, listen, get everybody, come out here. Come on, look at this. It's a hopeless moment. Only a prophet could do this. It's a hopeless moment. We have nothing. But I want you to get the priests here. They come out. I'm sure they had looks like that look of despair. He says, you got to stand between the porch and the altar. Not the prophet, not the king, the priest. And when you get there, he's ready to hear you. Just look to him. Say this. Spare thy people, O God. Give not thy inheritance. We're yours to reproach. Let not the heathen rule over us. For they say, where is your God? Then I will. I have some friends, I'm sure, that think I'm a dreamer. There have been some before me. I don't think I'm dreaming. No, it's not a dream. One final thing, and I'm done with this. Whatever he did in Acts chapter 2 was the initiation, the beginning, the start. Please know this about him. So when he was here, it was one body. He left with a multiple-membered body. It's greater. This is his nature. It's his way. What he did there was just to let us know, I'm here. I'm just beginning. And if we're willing to believe and we're willing to cry out to him, not in an anxiety, pressured thing, it's not that. Out of a love relational thing, cry out to him, what might he just do? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your heart and your spirit toward us, for us. But I do pray that even in some of these things, though, because they're prophetic in many ways, they're not always easily grasped, not always easily apprehended. I just pray tonight that I'm surely a poor communicator. There's no question about it, at best. But by the revelation of the Spirit of God, as you did in Peter, do in us. Let what sometimes appears to be jargon, uncertainty, what is this, that as he knew it, this is that, that we too would see the writings the same way. So, Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You good? How about giving the Lord a hand for me? Where's the other girl? She's on the other side. Okay. Oh, there she is back there. Okay, I'll come over there in a moment. Yeah. So you guys are a team. He's a beast. Oh, sometimes a team. Is that what that was? That movement there? Yeah. Oh, you're more team player than you're letting me know. It's really beautiful. So you may be sitting here because I'm up here. It doesn't really matter. But you're really in the right place in relation to this leadership team. Because the Lord is going to build tiers of leaders, tiers of leadership that's going to grow and increase. And my brother, you were built always built to lead, but built to be a follower and a leader at the same time. Very unusual, very much like the centurion soldier, a man of great faith. He didn't need the Lord to come to his house. He didn't need it to move. He knew if the Lord spoke, it would be. And you see these authority figures, woman or man, black or white, you see him equal. You see him as the leaders. You see him as the people that you're supposed to follow, even releasing her to be a part of it. But I want you to know, my friend, the Lord intends for you to be part of the team that builds and restores and recovers. And as this new day comes, this new wave comes, and young men and young women come in, you'll be part of a team that works. They'll almost be called like rescuers. You'll almost be, that'd be a kind of a term. You won't really be that one, but you'll know you'll be the guys when people come in, because they're going to come in, though, uncertain, very much like them. What just happened? Where are we going? What's going on? We don't know what to do. Should we leave our homes? Many of those people we know literally did not go back home. They stayed there to make a new life. They're going to walk in these doors, and they're ready to start a brand new life. And you, my friend, will be part of that team. You're the same way, but a lot of the guys together that will cause them to be able to make the decisions that it's okay with your past, okay with what's happening in your life. You know this. The Lord will begin a brand new thing in your life today. You can trust it. And the two of you, the Lord will use as a healing team. My sister, you're already super sensitive. I said to you, even in your emails, there was this warmth that came through, which is weird to me. It was not weird, but it was like, but this joyous kind of like bright and shiny. I get some, they just come in like nine. Yeah, I know that they don't even like me. They're writing me. Yeah, we love and appreciate you, Dr. J. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay, well, I got to believe something. But you're going to see the Lord use the two of you, and he is going to begin moving into your house with enlarged light. This is not just, you know, this is not, you have to become religious. You have to all of a sudden start doing new things, start devotion, this, that. This is not that at all. This isn't a recreating of your life. My brother, listen, the Lord is more pleased with you than you know. More than you know. But I know how it is to be a male. I struggle. You know, the priests did a funny thing about them. They were never to sweat. I sweat all the time. I'm thinking, I'm not supposed to sweat, but you know what? Because if I'm not doing it, it's not going to get done. If I don't have, if I'm not all in, he's not going to be all in. If I don't fast, pray, get my reading, yeah. And Linda just kind of walks around like, oh, la di da, the Lord's great. And I'm thinking, you gotta work more. You gotta earn this thing. And even when I say it doesn't have to be earned, I'm still doing it. You get it? And she walks around and says, it'll be okay, honey. The bills will get paid. Yeah, okay. Take a good look. We're in trouble. No, you're not. So this is just the beginning, and this is going to be one of those couples that the Lord will begin to raise up. If I thought in any way that you would push and that you would break rank, I wouldn't even say this. Even if it was going to be true in the future, I wouldn't say it. If I thought that about you. But you're not that way. You understand rank. You understand order. You've been a man of order, man of rank. You understand that. And she does too. And so the Lord is really, this is really the day of the Lord for you. And not a day of the Lord of vengeance, but day of the Lord of greatness. Day of the Lord of future. Day of the Lord of hope. For your family as well, for your seed, and for your larger family. For both your families, you're going to see the Lord begin to bring salvation to your households in ways that he has not been able to reach it. You're going to see him just change many, many things on your in your behalf. Just because of your willingness to walk with him. I got to make my way back there. Just a few minutes. So my brother, my sister, listen, really love you. So you guys just dating or you just met in the parking lot a half hour ago? Or, right? No way, huh? No, no. I hear that. We're married. Oh, yeah. It's been decades almost, I think. I'm not sure the date and time. Yeah, it's beautiful, though. And you're sitting across from this couple over here. My friend, listen, you're beastie, boy. I love it, man. You're a man's man. You're a dude. Hunt, fish, four-wheel, get in the garage, get the hands dirty. Ugh, I don't like any of that stuff. Yeah, we could never be friends because I'm not doing any of that. Yeah, you know, you wouldn't sit down and watch the PGA either. Please, give me a break. Could you fast forward it to the end? I might watch that. I don't like sports, you'll tell me. Who doesn't like sports? I'm saying all this, though, because of the uniqueness of the two of you. Because she'll do the same things. That's the beautiful thing. And so this is really the beginning of the Lord. Even when you came to the church, you really weren't sure how this would work, how you would fit in. Would there be a place for you? But the Lord intended from the days that you walked in this door that he was beginning to make room for you, to be part of those who would stand and work, especially with healing families, broken families, broken lives, broken children especially. You know, I know it isn't the fondest thing to work with teenagers, and in some ways you don't think that's really the place, but I want you to know, my friend, that's where the Lord wants to begin pouring you out, amongst the young people, the young men, young women, both of you. Even your household, if you're willing to open up your door and allow people to start coming, especially the 32, 33 down, your people down, the Lord will enlarge the house for you, the houses of your dreams. He will do this thing. He'll make a way for it to be enlarged for you. But he wants your home to your home as a healing home, but it's more going to be a home of hope, bringing encouragement, bringing strength, teaching young men how to function, teaching young women how to be women, teaching young men how to be men, how to function in this world, I don't want to go there, but how to hunt, fish, four-wheel, you know, the things that you love to do, all that. Get in the woods at night, wake up at 3 a.m. and sit in something until a deer comes around. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then you could teach them to do that. Don't invite me over, though. If you're going to have pizza, I'll come then. I don't want to do that. But you're beautiful doing this. And with the two of you, you just live life, and you're not looking to intrude or be intrusive. You're just serving the Lord, loving him, and being a part of the church. But the Lord, he's the one that has the plan. He's the one that's drawn it out. He's the one that's preparing you. He's the one that brought you here to set you in. And listen, he's planning for you and your family to grow deep roots in this place. That you even be part of it when that young man starts considering moving on or bringing in another set of leadership, and that you carry on. Very much Joshua growing up and for the future. as this is a great day. Don't let business take you anywhere else. Don't be pushed around. Don't be moved around. Don't go somewhere else because you get paid more money. Don't do that. Trust the Lord right where you are. It's all right if you enlarge the business and you want to do other things and do some things on the side. She's fantastic. She got great ideas. Go with some of her ideas. It'll really work. The Lord will be in it. But this moving because of this or that or the pressure of the governor, don't go with that flow. Don't be moved by that. Let the Lord's the one who set you, the Lord's the one who brought you, the one, Lord's the one who's established you, and he'll be the one who keeps you. All right? Yeah. But as honest as I'm allowed to get with you. Well, I'm not happy, but should be. Yeah, thanks for the amens. I appreciate it very much. Yeah. So, it was a great lunch and everything, and I was glad to hear some things there because... I was just careful because the interesting thing is even the one sitting over there, even your brother, just the hand of the Lord is upon the family. And the Lord's intent is to bring a dimension of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven in all of your lives, all of them, no matter what the profession is. But there's always been this unique thing. Part of it was your placement in the family, the pressure in the middle. It was just always a pressured thing. And didn't know when to follow, didn't know when to lead, because it's difficult. Being the first one, I'm the oldest one in my family, so leading was a responsibility. It was no choice. But my brother didn't know, should I lead, should I follow, how should I fit in? My sister either, because we had four. The younger one just did her own thing because she's the fourth one. My parents said, go do it. It was fine, but she turned out well. Yeah, me, though, was trial. So I'm saying this to say this, is that you're going to see the Lord's administration moving into your life. That's why I was really glad to hear it. And really, he wants to put the word of God into your mouth. He says to Joshua, as Joshua's crossing over, he says, meditate the scriptures and let the law of the Lord be in your mouth. It literally means is in your... Doesn't mean I have to quote scripture, but my life sustenance is in this word. Your dad is very much like that. So I'm breathing it in and out. Again, I don't quote scripture all day long. I can't read the Bible all day long. I got other things to do. But there's this constant living by it. It's the sustaining part of my life. That's what he's saying to Joshua. And so you're going to see the Lord begin to open up the scriptures in a new passion for proclamation. Because the Lord wants to use you very much like he used Stephen and Philip, especially Philip, though, to gather people. It's just going to be that way for you. People are just going to be gathered around. You're going to speak and they'll gather. And so Philip didn't have, he brought the apostles in, but he was that hand that reached out. He was this unique evangelist is what they called him. But he was the man that had this spirit that where he would go, people would be gathered by it. And that's already in you. Always was. And but the Lord let it grow up very tenderly, allows you to grow without pruning you back, without shaping you. But now the shaping's here. The Lord will begin shaping you, begin forming you, begin building it. He's the one who creates the vessel. That's why in our lives, we start the threshing floor. He comes to visit us as he did the temple, but then he sets us on the wheel to the silversmith. And these are his administrations where he's forming the vessel. And there'll be time in your life you're going to just feel like, I just feel like everyone, it's not circles. It's the Lord shaping the vessel. It's the potter's hand in your life. And so the Lord is going to begin to increase that. And you're going to see the activity of God upon you, in you, and through you. Even your eyes are going to change. You're just going to be able to see in a distance the way you haven't seen before. It's happened to me over all these years. So I just see, I could never see this way before. I could never understand this way before. I didn't have clarity. I couldn't see in the invisible world. It was invisible. So all these things begin to change, and there's a process of it, and the Lord's already begun it with you. My sister, I don't know how close you guys are. She just didn't want to sit with her mother tonight and, had enough for her. And of course, that's not true. But we wanted to sit over here. But there is a uniqueness between the two of you. There's a relationship, a friendship. And very much the same thing is happening in your life. Because you've often wondered, because she has this family, and her dad's a pastor, and all these things of her family life, you know it. And you've often wondered sometimes, will the Lord use me? Will there ever be a part of it? My young sister, without realizing it, the spirit of Ruth has been on you since you were a young child. The tenderness of Ruth. I love this woman. I'm challenged by Ruth because she's going to leave everything because her mother-in-law is struggling with this emotion. She's bitter. She wants to change her name even. She's in such struggle. And this Ruth will stay with her. She'll risk her life gleaning for her mother. People will know her know about her before they ever know her. That's how it's vocalized, because she's such an amazing woman. All of that you have. Very much, if you took a career, I would love you to be a nurse or work in nursing, or work in some kind of medical field, because of the tender heart that you have and the caring for the brokenhearted, the lame, the halt, the maimed. And even if you didn't do that, if you taught and were a teacher, they would want you in counseling. They'd want to send people to you, because even your words, that's why it's interesting with you, even you guys even being friends, because your words are grace. They're salted, and they have this beautiful oil on them. I just have this big mouth that fits my big head, and it's loud. I mean, that's it. No, there's nothing else about it that's attractive. It isn't. Just, you know, I got to settle it down sometimes, because I go to my gym 3 floors. They know when I come in the building. I'm just saying hi. Well, I said, all of that. You, though, have this beauty. And so it is so important for you to know this, that at times you weren't sure how your life would be. There's not a young woman that is concerned about love, family, and future. There's not one. Guys aren't thinking about that as much. But I want you to know the Lord has already secured your future. You walk with him, girl, and you'll be the most satisfied, loved woman that you'll know. And people will be envious of your relationship. And you'll just tell him, listen, you just walk with him. You trust him. You believe in him. Don't compromise. And he'll do things that you could only dream of. And that's exactly what he's doing for you. So the future is extremely bright. You hold on to it. God will move in your personal family in ways you never thought possible. You pray. You believe for your friends and your family, even for your enemy. You pray for the ones who stood against you, made fun of you, mocked you from a distance. Watch what the Lord will do for you. That's beautiful. I love that. That was good. I enjoyed that. Yeah. I didn't say anything to you guys this morning, correct? Right? I didn't say anything to you, right? Okay. Doesn't mean I would. No, I'm just teasing. So, Beast, I just got to encourage you, okay? Yeah, come on. I love this guy. Yeah. You thought so? Yeah. That's because you had me in the headlock out there. You told me if I don't, you're going to. And he could rip my head off. No, you would never do that. I know. No, I know. I'm just teasing. So this is beautiful, because there is really a new administration of the Spirit of God entering into your life and your family. And I love this moment because, you know, the time period between Moses and Joshua is very, very key to me, because I realized as I began to learn it, two men are making it over this Jordan out of a whole generation. And I began to realize, you know, I'm living in a generation that it's questionable if we'll ever see the promise of God. Not that he won't take care of us, I mentioned already, but the fulfillment, the fullness of God. That whole generation, they lived that way, but they never understood and never grabbed them, never embraced them. Even when Joshua and Caleb came back, they were going to stone him because they had faith to believe. If he gives us, he'll give it to us. They were going to kill him. And even Caleb's the one who did more of the verbalizing. But it amazes me, this man at 80 years old. And then my cry became, my travail became, I don't want to be a man left in this day. I don't want an excuse. I don't want an old skin. I don't want to be old. I don't want to be somebody who isn't being willing to be transformed, molded by you. I want, you do what you must do to make sure that I cross over and that my family inherits the kingdom of God in its fullness. And I know the Lord is working. It would be my travail for my friends, for the ones that are my age. You're not, but that generation. But so that's why when I see the Lord already preparing a man for what he intends to do in the future, that arouses me. And that is you. It's because of the tenderness, the tender heart that you have. Even when other men weren't really for you, because of your size and everything, people will say, oh yeah, I'm with you, and they walk away, and you know they've turned, they've said other things, and they just simply left you. And in many ways, you've had to walk alone, even from your, not this family, but your larger family, making decisions for the kingdom of God, making decisions that many of the males in your family would never do, and just walking this upright, circumspect way. It's been a beautiful thing, and the Lord has taken notice. He saw it from the beginning. Really, right at that, it was your mom's grandmother was the real prayer influence of it. She was the one who cried out for all these boys, all these men. But she had a real thing for you. And her prayer for you was that the Lord would get a hold of you. And the Lord assured her that he would, and he has. And so this is a moment of time where you're going to see the Lord begin to enlarge your heart toward him, toward people. There's going to be an increase of the word of God. I mentioned three things up here, the wheat, the wine, and the oil. The Lord's already commanding them to come to your life and your family's life. There's going to be an enlarged reading. There's going to be time with him. The wine comes that way and the oil comes that way. But it's going to become something very easy. It's not going to be laborious. It doesn't mean you got to change your schedule. It's something he just does. I know, though, that I've got to do everything to study that Bible. It's my responsibility. I've got to teach it. But I know the only one who can unveil it, uncover it, is him. He's the only one. And so there's times that I know I'm responsible, then I just have to wait. But for you, though, he's drawn near and he's coming with if I'm going to use the term, open face, that you might see him and behold him. And my brother, the Lord will set you amongst his people in a day as one of the ones who lead, one of the ones who declares. And it isn't the size I like. It is a little commanding when you walk into a room, just a little bit. You know, I mean, even if you try to put your head down, it's like, the heck is that? My God, is that a human? Yeah, gosh. Is that man, is he human? Man, good thing I didn't wear short sleeve shirts. All the guys that think that, including me. And so it's going to be the beginning. You're just going to see, you're not the only one, but the Lord is going through, I said it earlier, tiers of leadership you're going to see being raised up here. And the Lord has declared you to be one of them. And the beautiful thing about you is you will take a back seat to that, and immediately, if they started picking out people, you'd be like, I believe you, but this is better for other men to go, not me. You really, oh, no, 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 no. Even for that reason, the Lord will choose you. And so it's just the beginning. Yes, there's going to be some discipline. You're going to see, even in the career, because you're with a lot of people, a lot of men especially, you're going to see the word of the Lord begin to be in your mouth. Not so much like me, but you're going to know in the sharing of the Lord Jesus and the working of miracles and the working of healing within your hands and within your home, you're going to see the Lord begin to give you the faith to have it done. You understand work, discipline. If you do the right things come up. You plant, it'll grow. You do the right things, those are true. But you're going to all of a sudden begin to have this faith. You know what? Just believe God. He'll take care of it. You just believe him. And my brother, there's going to be this incredible work of deliverance out of your life, out of your home, out of your family, because of what the Lord is intending to do. And you are. And you know what it is? Yeah. And this is good, though, because nothing you like, and I didn't mean to come back to you, but there's nothing you like than you dislike is stagnation, sameness. Man, that drives me. I like to work out because I can move things around. If it's going to be plateau, I'm ready to jump off it, or it's got to move up. I mean, he knows that. And so I get like this at the end, inside of myself. And he knows that about you. And this, you're just at a moment of time, you know what? I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. And boy, he's heard that inner cry, and he's come to answer it. My brother and sister, that couple over there, you guys should hang out with each other. You guys would love each other. You really should go in the garage, tear apart the motor, rebuild the motor. You know, in your garage, his garage, either one. Just music blaring, get a little POD maybe even. Just let it go. Probably more country. I'm sure it's going to be more country Christian stuff. Yeah, I'm sure of that. But, you know, if I come over, we could do some POD. Anyways, yeah, you know, all the guys are kind of hanging out. The lights are on late. It's all greasy and dirty and, oh, man, just all the things. It's like it would be a nightmare for me, but I'd come just to be your friend. Yeah. But with these two ladies, the food's off the chart. That I would come for. The food, it would be great. Yeah, yeah. All right, I'm just playing with you, but it's all true. But I just want you to know, really, you know, and she's been, you know, I love her because if it wasn't for her, a lot of things you just wouldn't do. You know, coming here now, and you'd much rather be in the grease over there than here, but I'm glad you're here, really. But she really is. She's been the strength, the leader. She's been the kind of the guide in the Christianity. She's been, but that's all good. Linda's the real one who brought me. I would have never come without Linda, nagging me to death. Yeah, I'm thankful now, but then I wasn't too happy with that. I did that man thing. I said yes, yes for like a year, thinking, no, there's no way I'm doing that. Those people are weird. And I was right. They were weird. And I'm one of them weird now. Yeah, but she was the one. But there's going to be this change that's going to come. Her prayer has been, it wasn't a man of God because she loved you just the way you were, teddy bear like, you know. That's how she loved you. She just did. But the inner cry is though that to lead the family to the kingdom, to lead the family into the promise of God, to lead the family into the promised land, if you don't mind. And you're going to see the Lord begin to enter this house. Because without you realizing it, God is bringing across your home is going to be just, it's going to be like this. Whosoever will, a salvation, I can see it, beaming lights. But he's going to use your house to bring salvation to your neighbors, to your friends, to your co-workers. It's coming to your house in an incredible way. I haven't seen like this in many, many people. It's going to be like that. And you're going to be like, don't get ready. If it comes up, we'll say something. But don't get ready. Don't prepare us. He's saying that to you. Don't just be easy. If they ask, we'll tell them. But if they don't ask, let it go. It'll be okay. And they'll come in and he'll be right away. How you doing? You know what? Jesus can really change. You look at her. This is what's happening. I'm just telling you. Because, dude, there's this heartbeat of God for you. He loves her. It's true. She has a sensitivity toward the Spirit. But he's always had his heartbeat in your direction. He loved everything about you. And this is going to be the beginning of a dimension of salvation coming to your life, a dimension of the Word of God. You're not going to believe this, so I'm going to say some things. You're just not going to be. One day you'll actually be teaching the Scriptures. One day the two of you will team up and people come to your house for Bible studies, being taught. And they'll say, well, I got my car's broken. We could do that tomorrow. Think about that. You're going to choose the Bible over working on a car? I mean, this is really phenomenal stuff here. Right? And it's going to be, your house is going to be that way, and people are going to get saved. They're going to stay for hours. This is going to be, and they're going to bring their family, bring their friends. Honestly, you're going to have to just, if you want a bigger house, you ask the Lord, he'll do it. If you want something larger, maybe just a huge, great room where people can stand in there, a little music and everything. And you got the music ability, you know, if you start playing a little bit, it's really there. You do the, even banjo, if you like that instead. I'm not really up for the banjo, but you could do, you know, you could do that. You get that country thing rolling. I mean, it'll be okay. We can work on it. I can't work on it, but you can. I'm playing like this only because in sincerity, the Lord is looking down. And this is difficult for me because he's very emotional. There's such large emotion in him. And my brother, my sister, the Lord's heart is beating your direction with a love and a hope and a dream and a promise. And he himself is declaring things that I'm not saying to your future that only he can declare. And you'll see the Lord work out things for you, especially financially, because he wants to bless you financially so you have what you want. But you'll become a giver to the house, giver to people, giver to families. And if you believe the Lord to enlarge business and have the business bigger, have a multiple business, he's in it. You have the ability. You do. You have a sense. You have an economic sense. You have administrative abilities. You work as a team. The hard worker, the one that labors in the house, out in the house. The Lord, he'll dig out wells just so that you'll be able to draw from several places for the Lord to not just to sustain you, but to enlarge you. There's no ceiling. You just believe. Amen. Please stand. Are we good? Okay, just still keep standing. It's 7:16. I'm supposed to start at 7:15. Since you're tall, everybody can see you, so they know who I'm talking to. Yeah, wife, daughter.
Sir.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I got this thing for you. It's not a man crush. It's not, but it's just. But there's always this. It's not a man crush. It's close. I got a man crush on him. Anyways, yeah, no, not really. So bad. Because there was always this incredible purpose of God. That would be a word that I love. There was always this. There was always going to be a place for the two of you within this community, especially of leaders. You were, from the day that you walked in here, it was for certain that the Lord had brought you to be a man of great stature, not the height, but a man of real stature. a man that in his own community, the people in that world know him as a very much a Nathaniel, if you will. That'd be the simplest way for me to say it. And it's always been there with you. She knows this about you. You give your word, it doesn't matter what's happening, you'll keep it. And so you're going to see the Lord begin to move into this family, as I've been saying. You're amazing. You know, he absolutely loves you. He still looks at you and thinks, she is as beautiful as the day I saw her. And it's really true. There's nothing I love more than looking at a woman who's been loved and loves. And this is her. It's great. But you're going to see the Lord begin to team up and for you two to believe. There's a faith that's already here for the kingdom of God. You've done well. You've seeded well. And you've planned for your future very well. And the Lord will see that come to pass. You've planned it out for the children. All of it's been done. But the Lord is going to begin to increase you economically in a large way. He really wants to bring large money so you can begin to believe in outside places other than what you have considered investing in, things like that. He wants to do that. Because you both believe, even though he's this systematic guy, yeah, you know what I mean? He does all that stuff. But he knows when he looks at you, what do you think? And you'll nod to him. He knows. Because you, like Linda, it's just free-floating, man. It's all good. He's got it tightly wound, everything. It's tossing at night. You just laughing and giggling. Even maybe a little snore every once in a while. You don't care. You're good at it. I'm just resting. He's struggling. But that makes it beautiful, the two of you. But please know this. The Lord in both of you is raising you up. For the leadership in this place, to be part of the leadership, to be a man and a woman who stand with the people who will be the foundation to this house, especially its future, to believe God for the impossible. That's the beautiful thing, though, because you'll believe for the finances, but you'll also be for the supernatural. And it's more with him at the finances, more with you the supernatural, but the Lord's blending the two together. And then you'll be one, and then there'll be a day, my sister, that the word of the Lord will be in your mouth. It's already there. You're just not sure how to use it. It won't be just like me, but certainly me even standing before, in front of you like this, just even acknowledging it, is going to give a faith for you to be willing to have it done in submission to him. I mean, I'm submitted to this leadership. This isn't Jay Rogue. I understand that. But is this that you trust it? Because he'll say to you, well, I don't really feel out like that. I don't really have that kind of sense. Because he's somewhat cerebral. Mm-hmm. You know, somewhat. But you have this beautiful, and it's really been in your family. Even with sound and music, and there's always been this intuitive side of your life where the Lord is fine-tuning it so that you could be an incredible pair. This would be Nehemiah the builder and Ezra the scribe priest. Where there's a sense of the heart of God, the sense of what God desires, the sense of his people. But this man will stand and be the one that will be able to build the structure part of the house of God, this house. You want me to close? Or Gina? Me? Maybe take 5 minutes tomorrow and just maybe one little utterance. Spare thy people, O God. Give not thy inheritance reproach. Let not the heathen rule over us. For they say, where is our God? And they have a right to say it. How about they say, we have heard your God is with you, and we're coming to meet him. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray your grace be upon my brothers and my sisters. Thank you, Lord, for allowing Linda and I to be part of these fantastic, incredible, amazing folks of Cornerstone. It's an honor and privilege. Blessings upon them multiply. In Jesus' name, amen.